All right, Ron, let's go back out to the Nemecolon fan hotline for our very good friend Dan Rosen of NHL.com, taking time out of a busy day. How are you, Dan?
Wonderful, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. The Penguins aren't doing so well here in a Metro division that just looks to be absolutely brutal. Mm-hmm. As you look at that division, what are the chances that the Penguins make the playoffs?
Well, look, Joe, I didn't pick them to make the playoffs at the start of the season. And then I watched the first handful of games, right? And I'm like, man, maybe I was wrong. You know, I mean, here they are. They come out 6-2 against Tampa. They beat the Blackhawks before we really knew what the Blackhawks were at this point. You know, they don't have anybody against Toronto, and they win 7-1. And you're like, okay, here we go. Maybe I'm a little wrong here. But, you know, losses now, Tampa, Calgary, the Devils, they haven't looked good. And there's only so much you can overcome. It's like one hit after another. And I don't need to go over it with all you guys, you know, with you guys exactly. You guys know. But I didn't pick them to make the playoffs because I wondered about how they were going to start this season without Sidney, without Malkin. And that was before we knew of Rust being out and now Crosby coming back and then the COVID and all that. So I thought it was going to be tough for them from the start. They're not nearly as deep as they were, you know, a handful of years ago when they were going on those cup runs, and the division is way better, you know. And that, I think it's going to be a real struggle. And here's the other alarming thing to me right now is they're playing their seventh home game tonight, and they're 2-3-1. They've only played twice on the road, and they're in last place in the division. Now, last place in the division is only a handful of points away from, you know, being in a playoff spot. But still, you can't lose points early in the season. You can't make the playoffs now, but you know the old adage is you can miss them now. And I think there's a legitimate now reason for concern with everything that they've got going on and all these home games that they're not winning.
You know, Dan, we knew the division was going to be strong, but it looks even better. I mean, Carolina hasn't lost yet, right? I mean, how about like a team like Columbus off to a good start? There doesn't seem to be a weak team there, and I know it'll sort out as the year goes on, but the division might even be better than I thought it was going to be.
Well, it is because you're looking at teams right now through, you know, 9 games, Columbus has 6 wins. They look way better than we thought they were going to be. Where is that going to go from here? They're the youngest team in the league. So let's see. But we know they're getting good goaltending, and we know that they have a real, you know, elite defenseman in Zach Werenski, and they can, you know, this guy Sillinger looks like the real deal up front, even though he's the youngest player in the league. They're the youngest team. Where does it go from here? I don't know, but they're not going to be an easy out. That's for sure. We can say that. Philadelphia has looked pretty good, under the radar good, I think, you know, for them. The Devils are hanging, although the injury to Jack Hughes hurts them, but they're, again, not going to be an easy out. The Rangers, you know, just keep finding ways, even though they've been getting outplayed at times. They're finding ways, so I think, and they're not yet completely reliant on guys like Panarin and Zibanejad to do it for them, and those guys are going to come around. And then I look at the Islanders, guys. I haven't even mentioned Washington. They're solid. I thought they were going to be solid. And Carolina's been great, obviously. The Islanders haven't played a home game yet. And they got 6 more in a row on the road. If they can just stay 500 through this 13-game road trip, if you want to call it that, before they finally open their new building, well, all of a sudden, you got the New York Islanders right there with a load of home games, too. So, like I said, this was never going to be easy for the Penguins, and it is playing out exactly that way through the early part of the season.
Dan Rosen from NHL.com. Let me read you a couple of numbers, one of which you presented, so it'll sound familiar to you, Dan. This one's from ESPN Stats and Info. Hurricanes, the fourth team to start a season 9-0-0 in NHL history, the first since the Canadiens in 15-16. And then you tweeted out that if Florida wins or just doesn't lose in regulation tomorrow, they'll be 9-0-1 or 8-0-2. They play Carolina coming up here on Saturday. And as you said, it could be the first game in NHL history featuring two teams without a regulation loss through their first 9 games. Tell me who you think is the best team in the East and also about Carolina. I think a lot of people thought they had a bad off season. What works for them?
Well, I didn't think they had a bad off season. They just had a lot of changes in the off season. That was the biggest difference. And you know, that's you know, the question mark was, how were those changes going to play out? They've played out quite nicely. They've looked pretty good. I think Carolina's the better team right now, and I think the numbers bear that out. They're a plus 22 in goal differential. Their power play and their PK are elite. They win a ton of faceoffs. They don't allow a lot of shots, and they generate a lot. They have the puck almost all game long. Florida's been very good, no question about it, but I just don't think that they have been as good in so many areas as the Carolina Hurricanes so far. We'll see. You know, I mean, each have played nine games. One's 9-0-0, and the other's 8-0-1. One team's got 37 goals. The other team's got 36, you know, so it is that way. But just looking at Carolina, I'm looking at their depth. I'm looking at the speed with which they play. And I don't, you know, it's got to be brought up at this point, the coaching continuity, right? Because Joel Quenneville, obviously, for reasons we all know, is not there anymore in Florida. They've got Andrew Brunette, first time behind the bench, running the show. Is that going to stay that way all season? Are they going to bring in a different guy with experience? If you do that, you know, do you disrupt what's already there? You need to bring in a caretaker, not a guy who's going to change things up. So there's a little bit of uncertainty in that department, whereas Rod Brindamore is the Jack Adams Award winner, and his team's off to a 9-0 start.
You mentioned Quenneville and the whole Blackhawks mess. It's been a tough week for the league. Your thoughts on what happened and the investigation with the Blackhawks, and we're getting ready to monitor an interesting story with the Penguins involving the Wilkes-Barre coach, his wife, the former head coach, and now a lawsuit looks like it's going to be filed against the Penguins, including Burkle and Lemieux. Your thoughts on those two controversies?
Yeah, my thoughts are no different probably than yours or anybody else's. This kind of stuff, it can't be bigger than the game. Nothing can be, you know, winning can't be bigger. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Winning can't be bigger than this stuff. And, you know, the game can't be bigger than sexual abuse and whatever type of abuse we're talking about. This, in these cases, we're obviously talking about sexual abuse. So I'm glad it's coming out now and the conversation is happening. I don't know if you guys saw Mark Chipman and Kevin Cheveldayoff's press conference the other day. I thought Mark Chipman did a terrific, and Chevy did too, but Chipman especially, you know, you could see how this matters to him, how much he wants to be a leader in this area of change, and the emotion that he spoke with. And I think a lot of people in hockey now are speaking with that emotion, and it's good. If anything can be good from this, it's that the conversation will lead to this kind of thing never happening again. And I don't want to sit here and be a fool and say sexual abuse is never going to happen again. That's a fool's errand right there. People are who they are. But covering it up, hiding it, putting winning above it, that can't ever happen again. It should never have happened in the first place, and the guys who are a part of that are obviously paying a price for it, but it should never happen, and God willing, it never happens again. God willing, never happens again, sexual abuse at all, you know, in the world, but certainly in our world, but that's, you know, kind of crazy to think that it would be that way. So it needs to be an open and honest dialogue and discussion and the freedom for people to speak about it, and I think we're seeing that now.
Dan Rosen of NHL.com. Does Fleury finish the year with the Blackhawks? And if not, are the Penguins a realistic option still?
Well, another question, who's running the show in Chicago, you know, to make that move with Stan Bowman obviously no longer there? I would think so. I don't see why not. I haven't even thought about it that far ahead because there's been so much stuff going on, obviously, with them. But if the Blackhawks are going to be a team that's going nowhere this season, and all the things that have transpired, it makes me wonder the desire that a guy who's 36 years old and Marc-Andre Fleury would have to re-sign there. I would think Pittsburgh would be a destination that he would obviously be interested in, but also that would need it. And this is not a knock on Tristan Jarry. It's just you need goaltending depth, you know. And Casey DeSmith is fine, but he's not as good as Marc-Andre Fleury, let's be honest. You know, and if he can make the cap work and you're the Penguins, you're Ron Hextall and Brian Burke, and you reach out to the right person there in Chicago, yeah, I would want to make that work sooner rather than later because it's that important.
You know, we talk about Fleury obviously would be so welcome back here in that room. I think the players loved him. You know, their big three, Sid isn't going anywhere, but both Malkin and Letang, contracts are up at the end of this year. I don't know what you do with Malkin. It looks like he's going to be probably another month before he comes back. Could this be the end of the big three in Pittsburgh?
It's a good question. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure that I could say that, to be honest with you. Malkin, I don't think Malkin goes anywhere. I think Malkin's re-signed. I think he's that. And Letang is that important to the organization as well. But I got to see how Evgeny Malkin comes back and plays. We assume he will come back and play at some point, but which is why you don't go and re-sign him now, because you got to see what he is after this operation. But if he is the Malkin that we expect him to be at 35 years old, not at 25 years old, the Malkin you expect him to be at 35, you're still going to get another 3 years, at least 2-3 years of really good hockey from a guy who's your number two center. So I would definitely look to that. And Letang too, but I don't see how you can re-sign these guys if you're the Penguins at where they are now in their cap hits, 9.5 and 7.25, respectively, for Malkin and Letang. I don't see how you do that for two players in their mid-30s, so we'll see where it goes. But I don't imagine either one of them want to leave either, because they've been there so long, they don't know anything else, and it makes sense to just, you know, finish it out, your legends, and, you know, finish it out with Sid. We'll see.
How about the team coming in here tonight, Dan? What do you make of the Flyers so far? Carter Hart, the way that Chuck Fletcher sort of reworked his defense. I think a lot of people thought that this ship was headed down, that players didn't want to play for the coach there. But they look okay so far, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And the addition of Cam Atkinson gives them a real legitimate goal-scoring threat. He's got 6, obviously. Claude Giroux has looked reborn in a way this season. He's been producing almost every game. Couturier, to me, is the Bergeron, Kopitar, Taves, those guys when they were in their prime. That's what he is right now. So, and look, Carter Hart needed a bounce back. He needed to have a big year. No different than Tristan Jarry. You know, Carter Hart wasn't that good in the regular season. For Jarry, it was more the playoffs, obviously. But, you know, he's looked good. I mean, he's got a 9.28 save percentage, Carter Hart. So you can't complain with anything that they're doing. They got 5 wins in 8 games. I think that they've reworked their D, and I think it's helped Hart a lot, and that was the idea behind it. You know, rework your D, help Carter Hart, also place guys, you know, like a Travis Sanheim and a few others in, you know, in their proper roles. Now, Ryan Ellis has been out, so that hasn't helped them at all, but, you know, Ristolainen's been fine. Provorov, I think, has taken a little bit of pressure off of him as well. So I like what I've seen so far from them. I think they're right in the mix there in the Metro. Not the best, certainly not a last place team.
How does Ovechkin keep doing it, Dan? 9 goals in 9 games. The pace is just ridiculous. How much of a shot do you give him a catch in Gretzky?
Oh, well, I mean, the pace he's on, I think he's got a real shot, because he's 36 years old now. And he's got 739 goals. The idea was sign the 5-year deal, average 33 goals per season, and you catch him. That's what he had to do. For Ovechkin, averaging 33 goals per season is like a walk in the park. I mean, this guy, you know, one time in a full season in the last however many years, he's scored 33 or less. He's a typical 40 to 50 goal scorer now. But he's increasing his pace with his start. And now it's going to make, you know, if he continues at, well, he's not going to continue at this pace, but if he can score 50 this season, well, that makes it a little easier for him as he gets older into the 38, 39 years, you know, and now it's an even better shot for him to get it. I think he has a real legitimate shot. And not only that, he's motivated to do it. For the longest time, Alex Ovechkin was motivated just to win the Stanley Cup, and nothing else mattered. and he won the Stanley Cup. And yes, that is the end goal, and nothing else will matter once he gets to the playoffs. But he knows how close he's getting to Wayne Gretzky. And I think it's a real legitimate shot and a real motivation for him to see this through. That's why he would. That's why he signed the contract he signed.
Dan, you're a wonderful man, a patriot, a spiritual guru, a hockey savant, and a giant in your field. Thank you for taking the time.
I like the spiritual guru. Thank you very much. Appreciate
See you,
man. It, guys.
See ya.